the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. And nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil before you, you silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You're live stream. Good morning. Thank you for logging in. If you're not feeling well, we pray God's healing power upon you and that you be with us real soon. Please give us I have my usual spiel. Give us a like, thumbs up, a share. Especially share that link with someone. And double, triple, hundredfold blessings on you who view us from another country. In the comment section of the, where how are you viewing us, please let us know you're out there. If there's any problems with the stream, put it in there, and Norma will look at the comment and adjust as rapidly as he can. God bless y'all. And you in the house, mute your cell phones, your tablets, your pacemakers. Don't want to beeping off at the door of service. We just come here to worship the Lord. We'll bring our temple together to praise his holy name. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Faithfulness, morning. I see. All I have needed, thy hands hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Can we all stand for our scripture reading this morning? It's coming from 1 John 7 through 11. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Something I don't normally do, but I felt led to do this morning. Is I know the brethren we prayed this morning back there in the room, but I feel that before Danny comes up and gives his word, well, that I want to pray for this congregation. We've got a lot missing in our ranks today. So I invite you, if you're comfortable, to bow your heads and let's pray for this body of Christ. Father, I pray right now, Father, for the one who knows you the least to the one who knows you the most. For the one who's been walking with you a long time, Lord, to the one who's just begun to walk with you. Father, you say you sent your word and you've healed our disease. And Father, we have infirmities and things that we go through, Lord. But Father, that we earnestly seek you, Lord. And Father, if I ask the question, how many people here that have your household, loved ones, or close relatives that are not walking with you, Lord? I bet you every hand in this house will be raised. There's not a home here that is not dysfunctional. We all have some kind of type of dysfunction one way or another. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit move on these people, Lord. They're good, fine, good Christian people, Lord, who love you, Lord. And we lift you up and exalt you this day, Lord, Father, that we consecrate this platform, Lord, that we consecrate this pulpit, Lord, that week in and week out, the truth is spoken here. And your truth is pure, holy, and righteous. It's undisputed. As I said this morning, your words in red is undisputed because it is truth, and it is holy, and it is righteous. We fall into the lies, schemes, and deceptions of the enemy. The enemy has created nothing. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a manipulator. But he can't create anything. God, you created all things. And we look to you. Thank you for coming and loving us so much. As we talked about this love, that you bankrupt heaven, Lord, to come down here. And you shed your blood on the cross, that you gave your life. They didn't take your life. You gave your life only to take it up again for us. Because without that, we would all be doomed. But you loved us enough that you did it, Lord. So today, Lord, we lift you up and we exalt you. And we praise and glorify you, Lord. Father, may you lift, we lift Danny up to you today, Lord. And Father, he's not here to perform, Lord. He is here to bring your word, your anointed word, the way you want it to be brought, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen.
And it's a good thing that I'm not here to perform, because I'd be run off the stage pretty quick. I ain't going to win no Academy Award, that's for sure. Good morning, and thank you for coming out this day on the Lord's Day. I want to open up in prayer, because first of all, I have nothing to say this morning. But I got a feeling the Holy Spirit does. So let's find out. Father, we do give you thanks for this day. Father, I submit myself in this time, Lord, it's yours. I am yours. Everything is yours. You own everything. You've created everything. Father, for your glory and your pleasure. Father, as I submit myself to you, Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Not only through me, Lord, but into the hearts and lives of men and women and children that hear and hear live, and Lord, throughout the live stream, Lord, or who may hear later. Father, just let your word come forth in truth and righteousness, Lord, in all things, Father. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And my glasses are fogging up, so because I'm hot-natured and all kind of stuff. But anyway, I kind of felt led to start a series, if you will. From time to time I'm up here, and we'll continue on when I'm back up here, the Lord tarries. If not, he can teach it, and he can teach it a lot better than I can when we all get to heaven. I mean, I don't think there'll be much teaching going on. I think we'll know everything we need to know. But name of the series I want to title is Christ's Final Week in His Earthly Ministry. And the Gospel of John, probably over half the gospel is devoted till that time of his final week. And the first part I want to go into is God's love for his own. Now, yes, God loves everyone. And it breaks his heart to see so much disobedience and so much people turning away and denying his very existence and denying the Creator. I mean, this generation and maybe the few previous ones have come up with the most insulting God of all. That one doesn't exist. I mean, throughout the ages, no matter who you were, if you didn't have a God, you were looked at as stupid. I mean, the man had the wrong God, but they had a God. They attributed creation to something. Now, when this all this just happened, and that amazes me, and I tell people this, you know, if I run across someone who claims to be atheist or agnostic or whatever you want to call them, you know, whatever they call themselves, I look at them and I say it with all truth. You've got a lot more faith than I do. What do you mean? Well, you're telling me that everything came from nothing. There was nothing, working on nothing, begot by nothing, it exploded and begot everything. You know, like my tablet. Actually, I walked in the yard the other day and where lightning had struck. And I looked down and I saw this tablet here. And it works perfectly, all the electronics, and it's got Wi-Fi and all that stuff in it. You know, I mean, how many of y'all believe that? I don't. That's more believable. You know, my smartwatch, you know, same thing. I found it in a puddle of mud, you know, wow, man, look, you know, it all just come out of nothing. Right? You know, I mean, this body, for example, you know, I mean, if you do any study in any of this, and I hadn't done much, but if you study this, the hand itself, all the, and you're telling me all this just happened? You look up into the stars, the skies, and all this, you know, the orbit, and it just, it's amazing. What holds it together? Nothing? Right, okay. Enough of that. But the God is creator of all, sustainer of all, involved in every smallest detail you can ever imagine. He is involved in every cell division in our body. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that he doesn't attend a funeral. And I think he used that as something we could understand, but you can go into more and more and more detail things that he's involved in. And he desires to be a part, the main part of your life. He wants to be involved in your Sunday morning as well as your Friday night. He wants to be involved in your hobbies as well as your prayer time. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And it blows my mind that the God of creation, the God of the universe, Father God, wants to spend time with sinful me. That humbles me in ways I've never been humbled before. Why? I don't know. But I'm thankful that he does. Even like I was sharing in the prayer room this morning. You know, I mean, like this week, last few weeks especially, everything from every angle seemed like it's come at me. Built up, pushed me down, hit me blindsided. And, you know, and I'll say it more nicely, and I said it yesterday, there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing. But I've learned over the years, if I pray and God doesn't stop it or change it, He's got a reason behind it. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it to myself right now, just don't go through it, grow through it. Don't let the lessons be wasted. One day this week, it hit me. Well, not this is the new week, but last week it hit me. Something I hadn't dealt with in over 20 years. I was about to have an anxiety attack. 20 years prior, I was a manic depressant. Anxiety was my best friend. And I walked through it. I fought through it. And God kept me alive through it. But it starts like, what in the world? And it's easy for me to say, oh, just give it over to God. That's easy to say. It sounds good. Just give it to God. He will take care of you. Just, you know. And that's easy to preach on. God bless you and walk away. But when you face it yourself, when you're face to face, toe to toe with your enemy, that's when the rubber meets the road. Now, thank God it didn't last long. I said, no. No, my past is not coming back. But I had to face it. And I had to deal with it. And I had to learn, okay, God, what is going on here? And I don't know what's going on. Got up Thursday morning after all that rain come on, and I had to swim to the kitchen. Wow, here we go. Great, you know. The house is flooded. Praise God, the house. No. I just, okay, well, you know, well, just kind of par for the course, you know, what's going on here. So, but, you know, like I say, you know, we'll take care of that. It's just flooring. Didn't damage a whole lot more. Just, you know, a few things. Soak the floor, get that fixed. It's all going to fall apart anyway one day. It doesn't matter. But, you know, on top of that, so I got up and went to work, you know, and we're dealing with that, and I got to deal with it more tomorrow, you know, and try to get things straightened out. You know, we got to move a bunch of stuff, you know. But, hey, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. There's more important things that I need to stay focused on. You know, for those who you don't know, I mean, I'll take a brief few moments here to kind of briefly testify, you know. I mean, I was born in the normal way. I mean, I didn't come from heaven. I was born like anybody else was, raised in a, well, mixed up family, if you will. I mean, it was an experience, I'll put it that way. At the age of about 13, I started turning to my enemy, the devil, into witchcraft, demons, casting spells, led me almost to suicide. You know, come close a few times. Was gloriously saved on January 15th, 1984, at Cedartown Church of God. God changed me, turned me around. The sky was blue. The birds were singing. I was like, wow. Went about 3 years into that, you know, I mean, had very little Bible experience before then. I mean, some of the things I taught were very messed up, you know. I mean, but anyway, began to dig into the Bible. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, you kind of, well, you know how teenagers are. After about 3.5 years, I got to deciding, I think I want to do this thing myself. You know, and just didn't work out real well. But finally, after about 3.5 years, God began to turn things around. But I still want to do it my way. And you know what? He let me. And after several tries, he said, okay, have it your way. This is Burger King. Have it your way. You know, I didn't get what I ordered, but, you know, I had it my way. But the thing I want to speak on there, for 17 years, I got put in the desert experience. I mean, went from one disaster to another, and sometimes they overlapped. I had to take hours during the day. Okay, I got to worry about this from 2 to 4, and from 4 to 6, I got to worry about this, and, you know, and hope that I knew every police officer by his first name in the county, I think, at that time. It was at my house that much. I kept people from going to jail and kept people from getting shot, getting killed, and going, you name it, it was happening. I mean, it was on, you know, especially around the holiday. But anyway, but through those experiences, I went through some stuff that God taught me that I wouldn't have learned anywhere else. I seen some miraculous miracles during that time. I saw my dad get in a terrible car accident. You know, he should have died instantly. Laid in ICU for 6 weeks, and every day they come with a different reason he's going to die from. But God had already spoke to me. For the first time, I heard God speak to me, and not audibly, but in my spirit, he's going to be okay, and he was. He pulled through that. And on and on and on and on it went. Then they diagnosed him with cancer, you know, and they said, oh, he's too bad of shape. He's going to die. We got to do this good, you know. He went through it like clockwork. A few years later, the cancer come back. There's nothing we can do. You know, it's too far gone. He's going to die, you know. And we could do chemotherapy, but the first treatment would probably kill him, you know. So I went into prayer knowing that God is God. And during that time is when God said, give me your dad. And, oh, no, 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 no. I fought with God for 2 hours. Finally, God said, okay, God, I give him to you. He's yours. I ask that his salvation is secure. Don't let him suffer. So I prepared for him to die. Guess what? God healed the cancer. See, you never know what God is going to do. But you, once you submit it and give it to him, wholly give it to him, he may have a whole different plan. But as long as you're hanging on to what you've got, he can't give you what he desires to give you. We must be willing to submit it all to God. And that's easy for me to say. Just give it to God. It's easy to say. And sometimes you got to give it a piece at a time. Okay, God, I trust you with this much today. God's not like, that's not God. He'll take it. He'll take what you give him. He'll give you something in return. And if you keep giving him more, before you know it, you're walking in full fellowship and you learn to trust God. And that's where it went, you know. Finally, after that, you know, he did pass away 2 years later after that. But it was his time to go home. If God healed everything and everybody all the time, nobody'd ever die. Right. Everyone wants to get to heaven, but no one wants to die to get there. We'd never done this before. I mean, watch this. I've done this several times, you know. You only die, it's the point a man wants to die. Now, there is exception to that. Yeah, Lazarus died twice. And the widow's son died twice. Jairus' daughter died twice. There's a few exceptions to that. Just like there'll be an exception one day, I feel like, when he comes after us, those who are alive and remain. But death is scary. I mean, we've never done this before. How's it going to happen? Am I going to suffer? Is it going to be instant? I don't know. That's God's business. I've submitted my request to him. That'll mean he may have a better plan. Like we was talking about Wednesday night, that, you know, how Moses, how he had walked 40 years in the desert with a bunch of disobedient rebels, if you will, who gave him a hard time every day. And because Moses woke up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, he offended God, and God said, okay, because you've done that, you're not going to lead these people in the promised land. Wow. 40 years of dealing with this mess, and because I get up and have a bad day, you're going to keep me from doing that which you've called me to do? But keep in mind, God always has a better plan. Now, I'm sure Moses was disappointed, and he finally, God had to tell him, do not bring this up before me again. God, please, no, shut up, no, quit, stop. You're not going. And Moses had enough sense to hush. But with that being said, Moses did get to go to the promised land. It's in the Bible. Elijah and Moses appeared Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they discussed his exodus, not his decease, but his exodus, where that he was about to accomplish. Not that which was going to happen to him. Oh, God. He was about to accomplish something. And I believe firmly, and you may believe differently, and that's okay. We'll find out one day that he will be one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation in the promised land for 3.5 years proclaiming the gospel. So God got a better plan. Just like he did with me. 2005. When the desert experience was coming to an end, or 2006, 2005 is when it all come crashing down. Because I wouldn't listen, God took everything I held near and dear, and it come apart at the seams, piece by piece, all year long, till nothing was left. In 2006, I was so messed up, it wasn't funny. But finally, I run out of that apartment I was in at the time, out in the backyard, God! He's like, I've been waiting on you. He wasn't there with a stick. He wouldn't dance. He was like, come here. And over several weeks, he began to deal with me. I began to study. I began to dig in. I began to do a few things. And finally, one day on check, I said it many times, go and check the mail. God stopped me dead in my tracks and said, what you going to do this time? And I almost felt like, I guess maybe Saul of Tarsus felt this way when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Everything that I had done previously flashed before my eyes in this instant. There it was. And God showed me, because of my disobedience, I went through what I went through. He still protected me and kept me through it, through that time. But what are you going to do this time? I thought for about 3 seconds. Lord, we're going to do it your way this time. God, forgive me. I devote myself to you. And from that time on, I began to devote myself to Scripture, study and reading under two of the best tutors I feel like that God has allowed to walk the face of this earth. One of them went home. One of them still pastors the church in Philadelphia, who's really ministered to me, taught me. After a few years, I got puffed up. Look what I know. I'd go to church and the preacher would be talking on something. Well, I know more about that than you do. Someone would get up and say something. I could have said that so much better. And I wanted to get up there so bad, but God, nope, you ain't ready. And I fought with it for a long period of time. God, why won't you let me? Because you ain't ready. But God, you ain't ready. So when I got where I had nothing to say, and I wasn't here to prove anything, and I wasn't up here to put on a show, God said, now you're ready. Now you're ready to be used. You have to be broken before you can be used. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to break you to be used by God. You have to be submitted, be willing to listen, to follow, and devote yourself to Him if you want to be used by God. And that's where I'm at today. I'm still, I'm human. I don't walk around 2 feet off the ground. There's no angels singing in my background and, soft music playing. I face the same struggles that you do every day. I face the same enemy that you do every day. I've got a job that can be very stressful at times, to the point if I had any hair, I'd have it pulled out. I even tell someone, hey, come here, let me pull your hair. I don't have any left. But there again, I had to remind myself, this is just a job. Yes, it's important. It's how I provide for my family and how I get food to eat here on the earth, but it's just a job. I got to treat these people in the right way, the way that I can show the love of God in that which I do. I make it a point every morning. I say, good morning, how you doing? You know, if I know anything about him, how's your family, you know? And I let him know, I appreciate what you do. You're doing a great job, but thank you, you know. And that's what some people need. Do I get that? No, I get the other end of it. Seems like, but that's okay. Like I tell them, I'm not going to see any of y'all at the family reunion. You're not going home with me. We're not going fishing Saturday. You know, I kind of got to keep it at that. It's just a job. Even though sometimes, you know, it gets overwhelming. But with that being said, Jesus' final week here on the earth, you know, first of all, and look, who is Jesus? Now that is a subject that I cannot even begin to scratch the surface on. Who is Jesus? It is not humanly possible for me or anyone else to explain who is Jesus. Because the Bible teaches in the ages to come, we still will be learning of him, even in heaven. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. We'll never get to the point to where we know Jesus fully, everything about him. Because every time we look upon him, and even in heaven, we're going to see something in him new that we didn't see before. This is going to blow our minds in the sense of, wow. The cherubim around the throne of God who cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. And they fall down on their faces, because every time they look up and see him, their minds are blown. They'll do it throughout eternity. And that who was, that's our was. Who is, that is our present. And who is to come, that is our is to come, because God is everywhere in every time domain, every dimensionality, all at once. There's nothing hidden from him. There is nothing, and I do mean nothing has ever happened, ever will happen, that catches him by surprise. Therefore, that being said, when we mess up, oh God, you got to be disappointed. No, he can't be disappointed. How can you disappoint someone who knew what you were going to do? Different concept. How can you disappoint someone who knew you were going to do that before you was ever born? Can't be done. We've all given God thousands of reasons to not love us and to turn his back on us, but you know what? He ain't listened to a single one, and he never will. If you are his, if you are born again, if you have come to know him and you walk in relationship with him, you can rest assured he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he'll never give up on you, and he will make sure that you get home safely. Period. And you can take that to the bank and cash that check, no matter how big you think it is. They will honor it. He will honor it. Oh, but you just know, I don't know what you done last week. You don't know what I done last week. If I knew what some of y'all done this week, I might not have showed up this morning. If y'all knew some of the things happened to me, you might not come to listen to me. You know, we're all human, right? Pastors are not above problems, situations. They're human. And I'm not calling myself a pastor. I'm a teacher. I've been in that role a few times. I've done a lot of things over the years, but I'm just Danny. I don't need a title. I don't need a shirt that says elder or prophet or something other. I don't need nobody. Whoa. I'm just Danny. What I do need is a shirt that says doulos, servant, bond servant of Christ. I need that. You know, Paul called himself the lowest. That was the under rower in the bottom of the ship who never saw daylight, who rolled, you know, to the drum beat or the crack of a whip to keep the ship moving. That was the lowest of slaves. That's what he called himself. I ain't there yet, but I'm getting there, or headed there. But Christ's final week on the earth, who is Jesus? There's many scriptures in the Bible that I could use, and you probably could think of at least 100 that come out that tell who was Jesus. But the Gospel of John, to me, it was written to the church. It was written around 90 AD. All the apostles were gone except John. Jerusalem was leveled. The temple was destroyed. Everything had been changed. John, this aged old man who had been through a lot of things, tradition says, you know, that he actually was, they tried to boil him in oil to kill him. He wouldn't boil. Freaked him out. So they exiled him to Patmos. Because God wasn't done with him yet. Because you are indestructible until God is done. God still knew that John needed to write the book of Revelation and also the Gospel of John. If he had died there, we wouldn't have these two glorious books. Matter of fact, they said, you know, when he was at that point, if you lived past 50 years old, you were old. I'm old. I'm 60. But, you know, because of the way things were, you didn't live that long. But they said they would, at the church of Ephesus, they would tote him in. They called him O Thunder Voice. He had a loud voice. He'd walk in and he didn't have a microphone, but he would say, "Children, love one another." And they towed him back out. And that's the message we can hang on to. But the Gospel of John, Matthew betrays Jesus as the coming Messiah. Mark, the suffering servant. Luke, the humanity of Christ, who he was, the man. But John betrays him as God, who he was. He starts out his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning of what? Beginning of time, when God said he set things in motion. At that particular time, for our understanding, he had to put it in a way we can understand it. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now that's a mouthful right there. So who is Jesus? Is he Jesus the lesser? Or is he second to the Father? No. It's hard to understand, but the best way I can explain it, and I feel like God has gave me an understanding of it, God, how am I going to teach you? He said, you're not. You can't. It's not teachable. It has to be revealed. Okay, good deal. Thank you. But we don't have three gods, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We got one God, who is manifest through three beings, who are never in disagreement, who've never had an argument, who are always on the same page. They're in that kind of unity to where there is no division whatsoever between them. It's one God manifested in three. God has an order. You got the Father. He is the one in charge. But Jesus has never disagreed with his Father. And the Father has never had to correct Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is in agreement with both of them. It's all one. They all have their part. The Holy Spirit is what is here with us on the earth, who dwells in us, who works through us, who corrects us, who does that dagger through your heart when you're about to do something you know you shouldn't do or about to say something you shouldn't say. I've had to put my hand over my mouth almost at times where I was fixing to say something and I felt, that sharp pain. No, it wasn't having a heart attack. It was the Holy Spirit saying, uh-uh. And sometimes I say, I've got this, and I'll still say it anyway. Oh, I should have done that. I tried to tell you. You had to go repent, go apologize to that person or whatever, you know, where if you just listened to start with, you wouldn't have to deal with that. And that's hard sometimes. I mean, James says, you know, the tongue, who can control it? It can set a spark and start a forest fire. I got some good news for you with your tongue. It comes with its own cage. All you got to do is shut the cage. Tell the brain, nope. Tell the tongue, nope. That's hard sometimes. Trust me, I know. Especially when somebody come on and stomp my toe. On purpose. not physically, but done something on purpose. Well, let me just tell you something. It comes out like a forked tongue. Full of poison. Well, man, ain't you supposed to be a Christian? Oh, that was my twin brother. You know, people are watching. I normally don't get involved in too many conversations at work, you know, because the other day there's four of me there, and they had it so jacked up it wasn't funny. So finally I say the Holy Spirit stood me up. I said, can I interject something here? And they got real quiet for a second. I said, let me tell you something. I said, bottom line is, if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven, period. And I even use a few Greek words and nothing. If you ain't born from above, you know, you're not going, period. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He says, you are the teacher of Israel. Not a teacher, but the teacher. You're the main head honcho of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Tore up a mild rebuke there. And he said in the King James, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or assuredly, I say unto you the truth. You must be born again. The spirit died when Adam and Eve sinned. The spirit must be born again. Not physically. You must be born again. Passport stamped, you're going to heaven. Now, what you do with it will determine where you're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to a kingdom, not a democracy, a kingdom. There's a king, there's subjects, there's ranks. I don't know all of it. I'll find out when I get there. But you must be born again. Well, how do I know I'm born again? I said the sinner's prayer, and the preacher told me, you're saved. Well, how did he know? Did he born you again? I'll make that word up. You trust me, you will know. You will know. When I got up on that morning off the floor after 45 minutes, I knew something had changed. Didn't know what, couldn't explain it, but something was different. Anyway, that's who Jesus is. He is God Almighty, creator of all, sustainer of all. He was there when he said, let there be light. And there was light. And something amazes me, he didn't create the stars and the sun just a few days later, so there was just light everywhere, you know, because God is light. So then he made light bearers, you know, but that's a whole different story, different subject for a different day. He was there when he breathed life into man and when he created woman. He was the voice in the burning bush, which he claimed to be in John chapter 8, when he said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew he was claiming to be the voice in the burning bush, and they picked up stones to stone him. But through his miraculous power, I think he just stepped in a different dimension and walked right through them, because it wasn't his time. He knew he had to go through the crucifixion. And he's the only one that could have stopped it. He could have said, enough already, I'm out of here. He could let his glory begin to shine, and every person at the foot of that cross would have gone. All of Rome would have went. the earth would have left, everything, all creation would have disappeared, and he'd have been standing there in his glory. Because that's who he is. But if he knew he'd done it, guess what? None of us. We'd all be condemned to hell today. He loved us so much that he was willing to go through not just the physical part was bad enough. I mean, my God, I think of that. How awful. What studies I've done on the crucifixion, you know, even the strongest, most muscled up guy within a few minutes is going to be in excruciating pain, not side nails through your wrist and leg, but just the cramps and other problems. But knowing who had never known sin, who had never sinned, which when he came to earth had been tempted with sin, without sin, became sin. He became that murderer. He became that child molester. He became that robber. He became everything that I had been previously. He became the sin offering. Because he was spotless. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I had a debt I couldn't pay. And because of who he was, and from those 3 hours of darkness, when God fired all of his wrath down on his son, all the anger he has towards sin and disobedience, he's like, you think God is getting you? No, God got Jesus 2,000 years ago on that cross. He threw it all down on him. That all of his wrath and anger was satisfied. And then he said, it is finished. To tell us that I paid in full. He didn't say, you're finished. He said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he paid, died. And he went, got back the keys of the kingdom, keys of hell, death, and the grave. Ascended without the ascension, none of what he'd done was any good. He went back to the Father, presented himself, and we know that God the Father accepted his eternal sacrifice because he sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I know Jesus got back safely because he said, I'll send you another comforter, another helper, and the helper come. Now, a lot of people have took it and done some strange things with it, but the helper is here to you to be a witness, to keep you from sin, to be your strength when you're weak. That's who Jesus is. Now, when Jesus returned, he didn't take up the position that he left. He was God when he came, and he's God today. But he's also a man. He would never cease to be a man. He gave up part of who he was, become a lesser, become one of us, if you will, for us. That boggles my mind. He didn't have to do it. I mean, he was God in full glory. Yet he chose to become a mortal man? For me? For you? That we might spend eternity with him? Why? He could have done anything he wanted to do. You think if you win the $1 trillion lottery, you can do what you want to do? No, he was far beyond that. If he wanted something, he just could speak it into existence. Took his hand, come into being. And the universe as we know it was there. Let there be light. There was light in this dimension we're in. He set time in motion. He created this, everything, you know, okay, this, that, and the other. Adam's going to love this, yeah, and Eve's going to love that. He began to create things with us in mind. And then out of the dust of the earth, he created mankind and man become a living soul. How great of love must the Father have for us? You ever stop and think about that? how great of love must he have for us? He loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. He loves you so much when you turn and flat disobey him and go your own way, he's heartbroken. And that's another thing. Me, how can I cause the God of the universe, creator of all, to have pain? You can only cause someone pain who loves you and who cares about you. How can I grieve the heart of God? I'm sorry. I can't comprehend that. I've tried, but I can't. I'll try to get into some more here. Okay, we've talked about who he was, briefly scratched the surface on who Jesus was, who he is. You know, I don't want to say who he was because he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. But what was his reason for coming to the earth? Oh, to die for us. Yeah, he did that. That was his main reason. But why? What did he have to die for? What was his reason that he came, that he stepped down from his throne, put on human skin, was born? Here's the God of the universe in a cold, dark, feeding stone trough in a stable in Bethlehem, crying for milk. Think about that. He was cold for the first time. He was breathing air for the first time. He was subject to the things we're subject to for the first time. He had to grow in knowledge, grow in wisdom, grow in stature. At what point did he know who he was? I don't know. Bible doesn't say, so I'm not going to say either because I don't know. Was he in his terrible twos or wonderful twos? You'll have to ask Mary when you get to heaven on that one. Now, I know there's all kind of funny stories, how he took his toys or whatever, made them into real, like a bird, made it into a real bird. Yeah, and the Bible discounts that because this was the first miracle that he did, he said. So, I mean, you can hear all kind of stuff. And I've gotten discussions I've had to get out of a few times with people, you know. Well, you know, I believe this. Well, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm okay with you saying you don't believe the Bible is true and the Bible is, I don't like it, but I'm okay with that. That's your right. But do not tell me the Bible doesn't say this, because it does. Don't tell me, well, you're stupid for believing that. Well, that's, you know, that comes from my close kin. You know, and it caused me to back away for a long time before even talking to this person. Finally, he saw he needed to quit. He still got problems. We won't get into all that. But, you know, I'm okay with you disagreeing with me. I'm fine with that. That's your right. I might be wrong on some things. I got my absolutes that I'm not backing down from, that I'll die and stand for, live and die for. There's other things, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Let me pray on it. God, give me some scripture to either confirm this or refute this or rebuke me and teach me the truth. And that's hard, son, because we think because we believed it for 20, 30, 40 years that it's got to be the truth. It's got to be right because I believe it, you know, and some preacher said it. It's what mom and dad taught. But I had to have all those things brought into question over the years. Is this the truth? Am I believing correctly about this? Some things I felt like I was, some things God had to pry out of me. Because I ain't always right. Just because I may feel an unction and I need to say this, don't mean I'm right. Sometimes it's emotion that can disguise itself as the spirit. You got to watch that sometimes. I've not even too long ago, I said way more than I should, and I upset someone that I care about. And I was getting beat up for a week over it. And I wanted to go back to this person and apologize. And I said, Lord, I done more damage than good if I had. So, okay, Lord, if you want me to make this situation, he never did. Said, okay, just let it fall. And sometimes I will pray, Lord, especially when I've said something I know that was wrong. Lord, let those words fall to the ground. Let them not be remembered nor recounted. Just let them go. Let them fall away from whoever I said them to. You know, and sometimes he will, sometimes he has. Okay, you need to learn a lesson off this. But anyway, what was his reason for coming? And I'm sure we're all familiar with John 3:16. We both probably can quote it in our sleep. But how many can quote John 3:17? 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We all can quote John 3:16, but God in 3:17, he sent his Son into the world that you and me can be saved. That was his purpose of coming. The whole purpose, Jesus came, was born, lived in obscurity the first 30 years in a carpenter shop. And he didn't go to Home Depot to get his wood and his saws. He had to make them, and he had to go cut down a tree the hard way and drag it back to the shop, you know, and he didn't have a planer. He had to scrape the bark off with whatever he had. He had to trim it down to make boards. It was hard work. I bet Jesus, he was buff. I promise you, he probably was. By the time he was 30, he was a muscle man. He wasn't no mansy-pamsy. He was a man, a man's man. But you know what? He never did any shoddy work. He never overcharged anyone. He never, whoops, that's a mistake. I covered it with some wax. You don't ever notice. No, he did it right. Everything he did, God was pleased, because when he come to be baptized, he hadn't preached a sermon. He hadn't done a miracle. He hadn't done anything in his ministry. And God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm already well pleased. And he began his ministry. But before he began his ministry, he had to be tested. 40 days and 40 nights, he was with a wild beast. And he was tempted and tried for 40 days. We just get the last three to us. But notice in those last three things that he used, Deuteronomy was his favorite book to quote from. Lord's favorite book are the ones he quoted from the most, I should say. Notice all three times. And I've said it before, and it's kind of comical. You know, here's Satan come walking up, you know, who Jesus had created as Lucifer. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, bub. You do realize I'm the one that created you, right? And because you fail, you're now Satan. You realize I made you? I can take you out. Have you heard that? I made you, I can take you out and make no dislike you. You know, sometimes you feel like, but no, Jesus didn't do that. He could have. He could have like a fire, been the end of it. But what did he do? He was in our spot. He was a man. He used the word of God against his enemy. He simply quoted the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And even when Satan quoted scripture back to Jesus, he left part of it out. If you ever get the devil quoting scripture, you can rest assured it's twisted or it's misused, out of context, or something along those lines. But every time, Jesus didn't refute Satan's ownership of this world. Notice that, the last one. He didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I own this. No. God gave it to mankind. Mankind gave it to the enemy. Jesus came to take it back. And so he did. And now he's back. He has ownership of it. We told him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now Jesus could have jumped off the temple. And before we hit the ground, the angels would have caught him. But he wasn't here to put on a show. He wasn't here to say, look at me. He didn't glow in the dark. He didn't walk 2 feet off the ground. The disciples didn't really know much different about him until the Mount of Transfiguration, when he became the metamorphi, I think the word, he began, who was inside began to come out. He glowed brighter than any light, and they were, wow. They never looked at him again, the same. As they walked behind him, they knew every thread in his garment. They were like, is he going to do it? Well, he's going to do it. He's going to do it again. But he said, no, don't tell them about this yet until after my resurrection, because you'll mess it up. So that's who he was, and his reason for coming is that we may be saved, that we may be born again, that we may walk with him, that you can cry out to him in your deepest, darkest distress, no matter how bad you just failed. No matter how bad it is, you can cry out to him right then on the spot. And he won't come to you angry because you messed up. He'll come down to you with love and compassion and lift you up and say, it's okay. It's forgiven. I paid for that on the cross. I suffered for that sin. It's done with. It's atoned for. It's no longer held against you. All you got to do is confess it and repent of it. And it's not an issue no more. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, some of us and try to go fish it out again. Oh, God, I mean, yeah, you did. I did. I did it, yeah. I'm guilty. What can I say? I'm guilty. I can't go back and change it. You know, words out of your mouth is like toothpaste out of the tube. You can't put it back. You got to do something with it. It's out there. That's the reason opportunity is on this side. That's what I tell people at work, especially on the computer. I say, look, our opportunity is on this side of the enter button. And once I hit this button, I'm changing stuff. I'm sending stuff somewhere. And if it ain't right, I'm sending it to the wrong place. You know, it's that simple. Opportunity is on this side. So, and God will forgive you for what your mistakes are. Now, with that being said, forgiveness is one thing, but the repercussions of your sin may still be there. So, like, I know better. I know it's wrong for me to go up here and rob the First National Bank of whatever, you know, and I could go up there and get me a gun or whatever and tote off $1 million and get halfway down the road. Well, what have I done? This is wrong. I need to take this back. Guess what? I'm going to jail. No matter what, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I'm still going to jail because you did. Opportunities on this side sometimes. Getting angry and knocking somebody's lights out or whatever you want to do with them. Once you throw that fist or pull that trigger or use that knife or throw that rock, whatever you want, you call it, you're done. I'm sorry, but you still have done something that's going to cost you a lot. So opportunity, if you listen to the Holy Spirit on this side, makes a world of difference. I learned that the hard way a lot of times because I've got a lot of regrets in the sense that I wish I hadn't have done in my past. I wasn't exactly a nice person all my life. I've done some things that I still feel bad about. Can't change them. I hurt some people. I caused some people a lot of pain. I've done some things that nobody knows I did them, but God himself. And some things will go, I'll take to my grave. Other things are known. But guess what? I've been forgiven. I'm washed. I'm different. Not that person no more. I don't even know who that person is anymore. And I'm thankful for that. I ain't even going to get into the scripture, I don't think, today. But number three, what did he accomplish when he came? Jesus came with one purpose, I feel like, and that's to save us from our eternal destiny. Because through Adam and Eve, all died. From the first child born from Adam and Eve was born with a sin nature, a fallen nature. And if that child, from the time, probably the time they were born, had already experienced anger, already been selfish, already cried out in anger, all these things took place to the point they got at the place that they were knowledgeable, and then they still committed sin. So if you've ever committed one tiny sin, you're no longer perfect. See, perfection was in the Garden of Eden. I'm convinced that Adam and Eve were clothed in light, that they walked spotless and sinless with the Creator. They walked in the very presence of God. They didn't know they were naked because they were clothed in light. You know, everything was perfect. There was, I could imagine the fruit of the vine, you know, I mean, you know, we're in the fallen world. When we see, I love grapes and I love fruit and, you know, stuff, and it's even the fallen nature, the fallen world, things, some things are still beautiful. Some things are still really nice, but once the curse is lifted and we see it the way God originally created it, then we'll know what eyeballs are really for. I mean, I could imagine, you know, going over and getting some grapes and you get tote one of them, you know, huge grape, you know, or and just the flavor of it would probably been so much better. I mean, and just, and it wouldn't make you fat either, you know. Wasn't no sugar to make you diabetic, you know. I mean, all these things were perfect. Can imagine that. But there again, you know, here's Adam, you know. Eve had not been created when God gave Adam the command, you may eat of all the trees of the garden, but don't touch this one. Don't even look at it. Don't go near it. Leave it alone. Now, why did God put that there to start with? What gets me? I rightly can't answer that one. I mean, I got my ideas and theories, but I don't know. But that's the way we are as people, you know. Okay, I could say, okay, you can sit in any chair in this house you want to, but don't sit in that one for a reason. You'd be, what's different about that one? You had to try it out and see, you know. I mean, that's just our nature. But, you know, Eve wasn't around when God gave that command. So she heard it from Adam. Now, where was Adam when Lucifer, Satan, if you will, at that point, done fail, spoke to the serpent? And what gets me, she had no problem talking with the snake. So the snake probably, you know, did the animals talk back then? I don't know. Don't know. But here's this serpent, probably, you know, stood up on his feet, you know, looked differently. And what was the first thing you'd have God said? He questioned the word of God. See, God knows if you take of that fruit, we call an apple, the Bible doesn't say that, take of that fruit, you'll be like God. Wow, God is holding out on you. He's not being completely honest with you. That's the reason he didn't want you to take it. So the wheels begin to turn. Well, what about that? I want to be like God. First sin. So she reached and grabbed it. Now, God could have smacked her hand. But see, God knew all this was going to happen beforehand. Because it didn't take him by surprise. He's like, oh, Jesus, what are we going to do now? I knew they'd mess it up. I had to smoke them and start over. No, he didn't do that. He allowed it to take place. So she took it. And her light went out. And she saw that she was naked. And she fell. Now, if that had been some of us men, I'll speak for myself here, we walked up, what happened to you? Did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to be in trouble when he finds out. I'm still fine. I'm still clothed and light. I ain't messed with that. But you're going to be in a lot of trouble when God finds out what you're doing. What did Adam do? Now, this is just my theory here. I feel like Adam loved Eve so much that he was willing to face whatever consequence she is going to face for her sin, and chose to give himself for her in that situation. It's a type of Christ there, if you will. Even Paul speaks of this in one of his epistles. I'm not saying he did the right thing. I'm just saying he loved her that much. He loved his wife that much that whatever she's going to face, he's going to face with her. And that's how much Jesus loves us. Whatever we face every day, he faces with us. Now, he's not worried about it. He's not struggling with what we're going to do here. God, I need some help down here. You know, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do now? He knows. He's right there with you. He allows the enemy to come so far, and he says, nope, no more. The angels are there. When we pray, God, help me not to yield. The angels grab the sword. Mm-hmm. The spirits that are there, they back away because just light of Jesus is shining, and they can't cross that bloodline. You have no idea what takes place in the spirit realm when we begin to pray. We may not see it. We may sense it a little bit, but we have no idea what really takes place when we pray. I mean, demons are like tripping over each other, getting out of the way. Now, what happened on the flip side of that when we yield? I believe the angels have no choice but to put their sword back down. They made the choice. But God has said, you can only go thus far and no further. Because I'm going to use you to teach them a lesson here on this. They're going to learn something through this. Not because God's mad at you. He wants you to learn. Don't do that. I learned after 17 years, don't do that. It don't work very well. Trust me. You think you're going to get through it? You're not. You're not going to win. God always wins. You don't. You think it's going to be okay? It won't. I'm telling you, it won't. God loves you too much to allow you to settle for second best. He loves you too much for you to settle for anything lesser than what he has for you. I thank God for that. Because he is a gracious God, a forgiving God. May not understand everything here, but the day will come when we shall know as we are known. And one of the epistles of John, think 1 John, where it says, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't say, touch me and see that I have flesh and blood. He said, flesh and bone. The blood had been drained out. He's now spirit drive. I believe during the fall is when the blood drive and the cardio and all this come into being. I think before that it was spirit drive. Did you breathe? I don't know. Did you talk? I don't know. Maybe you communicated differently. I think we will in heaven. I think we'll be a totally different living than we are now. Totally different. Beyond my comprehension. Now, I'm just saying, it'll be different. But I pray that each one of you today has heard something that's blessed you, or at least got you thinking. It's got me thinking. Because like I showed my wife, I said, here's my notes. I got several scriptures and 3 points. I've learned not to use notes from the pulpit because they mess me up. If the Holy Spirit doesn't speak through me, I say dismiss and we'll go home. Because I refuse to sit up here and say what I got to say. I'm hearing it first, about 2 seconds before you hear it. Not because I'm any different, any better than anybody else. It's just the way God uses me. And I'm thankful for that. Keeps me out of the way. And I'm thankful for that. But next time I'm up, we'll try to get into John chapter 13. I was planning on beginning at about verse 31, right after Judas had left, where Jesus goes into his dialogue with his disciples. And it is deep, it is rich, and it is full. I challenge you to read it on your own. We speak of the Lord's Prayer, you know, is our Father who art in heaven. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But study it. Get you different translations. You hear me sometime, I'll quote a scripture three different ways because I study various translations from the Greek and different languages to try to help me to understand. Because we are dealing with the translation. New King James is the translation. NIV is the translation. Living Bible is the translation. And you got all, like if me and Eddie and Norman and a few more get together, we'd all use different words to try to explain the situation. Same there. Especially from the Cornell Greek, the most precise language there was at that time, it's kind of hard to break it down into English. You may have to use 15 words to explain one of theirs. So I challenge you, study the Word, pray, seek God, remain humble, ask God for help. Don't be ashamed when you sin. The shame is there, and trust me, your enemy's there poking you. No, God, forgive me. I messed up. As long as your heart changes, God forgives you, and it is no longer held to your charge. No more. It's almost like you could say, God, do you remember what I did 5 minutes ago? Nope. Why, has God had a bad memory? No, he chooses not to remember it. God can't forget, but he can choose not to hold it against you or remember it. Wow. I'm blown away. I'm amazed. I've been in this for a long time, but wow. Lord. Why? How? Ooh. Thank you. I don't understand it, but thank you. I don't trust my feelings. I trust you. Thank you. Yes, I feel like I'm toting 50,000 pounds on my back, but thank you. Finally, let it go. Take off running. Don't let your enemy lie to you anymore. Stop it today. No more. You are a child of God, created in his image to stand before him forevermore. We'll start living like it. Amen. We'll start living like it. Danny, start living like it. Shut your mouth. Quit having bad thoughts. Quit all this stuff. Live like it. We're a child of the King. And one day we're going to see him. It might be today. I don't know. But if it is, thank you, Lord. I'll see you in a minute. Father, I don't want to end this, but it's time. Lord, I feel like you have much more to say, and in your time, and you will say it. Lord, you don't need me to speak it. You can speak it just as more well than I can. And you know the person you're speaking it to much more than I do. You know what words to use, what language to use, how to say it to them, Lord. I pray, God, get it to them. Help us, O Lord, to submit totally, completely, 100% to who you are, Lord. And give you the glory as you give us the victory as we walk in your ways, Lord, in all things, Father. You've heard each prayer request, Lord, has been mentioned. God, I pray you do according to your will in those situations, Lord. You've got them. I don't need to remind you of them, even though you tell us to do it. You know about it. And I will remind you in prayer, Lord, that I may receive rewards for being a part of it. Father, into your hands I commit all things, Lord. Thank you for this time. Praise your most holy name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Just real quick, this Wednesday, The scheduled prayer meeting is going to be canceled. I believe we'll resume the Bible study the following Wednesday. So, anything else? Any other announcements? I think we're good. All right.
We have heard God's word. We have praised Him in song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long. As we leave this place in Jesus' tender care, we will share His love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we gather here, or we meet in the air.
We have heard God's word. We have praised Him in song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long. As we leave this place in Jesus' tender care, we will share His love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we gather here, or we meet in the air.
Have a good week, everyone. God bless y'all.